Philippians 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I think most of you that have a radio have probably listened to John MacArthur on Grace to You. If you hear the theme come on, Grace to you. It's a wonderful Christian greeting. We stopped last time and momentarily paused on Paul and who Paul was and the meaning of the name Paul to the people and the believers that lived in the city of Philippi. They had come to know the Lord through Paul, at least some of the first members of the church. Remember, there was Lydia. And then there was the slave girl. We don't even have her name, but they had been liberated and set free in different ways in their life. Lydia was a very successful businesswoman, a fairly wealthy woman. She owned her own house, whether she had purchased it by herself or perhaps inherited it from her husband. We don't know if she was a widow or not, but she was a trader. She was fairly wealthy. She was an educated woman. She traveled. She was the one that had delivered letters for the Apostle Paul to various churches. And so she was an important person in this church, this early New Testament church. On the other side of society was this poor slave girl. We don't know if she was born into slavery or whether she had become a slave of the people that used her when they discovered the ability she had to foresee the future through the demons that possessed her. And Jesus Christ, of course, Paul had set her free from that by casting out the demons in Jesus' name. So people from opposite sides of the culture. And then there was the jailer, who probably remembers Paul, of course, because he had opened the gospel to him that day when he was about to commit suicide. Paul had brought him back from the brink of suicide. And so for him, Paul was not only the pastor, the man that had presented the gospel to him, but literally had saved his physical life. And so Paul meant something special to these people, and Timothy, of course. And Paul is writing to these Christians, to this church here. And I'd like us to stop momentarily on the word saint. Some people mistake and they think that we are going to be saints someday. The Orthodox and the Catholic tradition of the church is that if you live a certain way, someday, through a process, through a formula, somebody in the hierarchy of the church will say that you are a saint. It's a process that sometimes takes hundreds of years, and there's requirements for that. You have to live a certain way. You have to give your life and your resources to the poor. You have to be able to have a documented miracle that you performed in your life in the Catholic Church in order to be eligible for sainthood. Most people would like to be saints. You ask somebody, are you a saint? They'll say, I'm trying to be. Well, you know, every one of us has a name here today, and I think there is a saint that has been named for every single one of us. Saint Mark wrote the gospel. He was a follower of Jesus Christ. And so historically, there's been a lot of confusion because people don't understand the meaning of the word in a biblical context. On the other hand, there's the world and how the world looks at saints. You've heard the expression that sometimes people do not look at Christians in the right context because unfortunately there have been many Christians that have used the name of Christ for their own purposes, to enhance themselves, to become rich, to do things, even to kill people in the name of Christ. You know, we talk a lot about Islam these days and the fact that we have radical terrorists that are willing to blow themselves up in order to kill people, in order to meet Allah and be rewarded with 70 virgins when they enter the eternity. Well, there have been many people in the history of the church, especially during the Crusades, during the time of the Inquisition, when Catholics would persecute the Protestant reformers and kill them. Wycliffe and other of the early Bible translators, many of them were put to death. I mentioned several weeks ago that Grace Community Church has an exhibition of some really old Bibles from the 16th century, and some of them are blood-stained by the owners of their Bibles because they would kill them, they would cut their wrists and cause them to bleed to death upon the pages of the Scripture that they owned. What a testimony. You know, the word saint in Greek actually means martyr. And martyr means to us, he who gave his blood or he who gave his life. When we speak of Jesus Christ giving his life for us, he shed his blood for us as we celebrated this morning when we took the bread and took the wine. But Jesus was not a martyr. We would be a martyr if our blood was shed because of our faith and because of our steadfastness for Jesus Christ, and because of our testimony. And during the time of the Great Tribulation, when Antichrist reigns over the earth, those people who give up their life because of their faith, they appear in white robes before the throne of God. And it says they appear there and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They were martyrs, they were saints. The same word in the Greek language. And so, saint is the word that God uses. All Scripture is given to us from God. It is God-inspired. It is the word that God himself used to instill in the mind of the Apostle Paul when he wrote this epistle and many other epistles. We just began Colossians, and Paul kind of spent some time on us already. Virtually all of the New Testament epistles have them addressed to the saints of a particular church. And perhaps only in the mind of Jesus Christ, he would address each of us here today as the saints in Hollywood. Or at least some of them. We're not the only church in Hollywood. And thank God there are other witnesses here as we walk out of here within a mile radius of here. There's Spanish and Korean and Chinese and multiple language ethnic churches bearing testimony that they belong to Jesus Christ. The Bible calls saints those who live holy lives. Holiness is being separated unto God. Not just separated away from the world. Not just cut off from the world like somebody who locks himself up in a monastery and lives there, you know, as a monk for the rest of their lives. But somebody that in our lifestyle is identified by belonging to God rather than the world. In 1 John we read, "Do not love the world, which is passing away." Jesus said one time, "Set your affections, your heart, the desire of your heart upon the Lord, things that are above." So the Bible calls saints Christians, calls us holy people, calls us beloved people, calls us called or elect people, calls us saved people, it calls us saints. And that's our biblical description of who we are to God. God takes a corrupt, unregenerated, dead person spiritually, who the Bible calls a sinner, and in a moment of our salvation changes our name and our description to a saint. What is the difference between a sinner and a saint? A saint is a saved sinner. Very simple. It's not somebody that the Orthodox or the Catholic Church will someday say Saint Victor or Paul or Inga or anybody else. And so, biblically speaking, a saint is somebody that has attained a certain amount of holiness in God's eyes. At a moment of salvation, God takes his righteousness and dresses us in it. And so that when we appear before God, God sees us. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ rather than our sinfulness. God sees us as somebody that he has separated from our sins. It is not us that separate ourselves from our sins. It's God who takes our sins away from us, gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ to dress in, and puts our sins upon Jesus Christ on the cross. And then pours his wrath and his punishment and his judgment upon Jesus on the cross. And if we stand under the shadow of the cross of Jesus, there's a beautiful song, you need to learn it and sing sometime. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I stand. It's a beautiful song that we'll have to find and learn sometime. But when we do that, then God separates us from our sins and consecrates us to Him and calls us saints. And so let us live like saints. Let's be saints. Let the world look at us and see our holy life. And so to these saints, and notice in verse 1 it says, the saints in Christ Jesus in Philippi. It's not because Philippi was full of saints, it's because these saints in this church belong to Jesus Christ. And we mentioned last Sunday that Buddhists are not in Buddha, but Christians are in Jesus Christ. We are one with Him. We are one with each other. And so to these people in this church, Paul writes, grace and peace. These were actually everyday expressions that people used in their everyday speech. We recently had a series on grace. Paul, you talked about grace and peace from Colossians in the last several messages. But in its very basic form, this phrase was both Jewish or Hebrew and Greek. Grace is the word we get in English that we call gift. We get the word charismatics. And in the Greek, the Greek structure of the word is what we get charis from. It is simply a greeting that they used. Okay, the word for peace was a Jewish greeting to each other. And today we use the word shalom. You go to Israel and it's shalom. Believers, to us, Jesus Christ is our shalom and He is our gift, or He is our grace or charis. Okay? And so Paul takes these words that everybody used, very much like we say hello to each other. Or in Russian, we greet each other, Zdravstvuyte, you know, to your health. Well, Paul takes these everyday greetings and he raises them up and he gives them a spiritual context. Grace is what God has given to us. Grace to you through Jesus Christ. It is what we celebrated this morning. It is the gift of God that is free, that we receive from God. And the result of the fact that God has given us His grace is that now we are at peace with God. God is no longer at war with us, and we are no longer at war with God. God fills our hearts with peace, the peace that passes understanding. Jesus said, I give you peace not like the world gives. I give you the peace that only I have. I am the author of peace. When Jesus arose on that first Sunday morning, and that first Sunday evening when He appeared to the disciples, He says, peace to you, mir vam. It's not a peace that fills our life, but it's a peace that we can come into the presence of God and know that He sees us as His people, His chosen people, for whom Jesus died and arose again. And so hopefully you have a better understanding of what you're called to be saints, to be in Jesus Christ because of the grace that God has given to us. And the resulting peace in our life demonstrates to the world that our life is not in chaos like the world. We can go through the chaos and the trials and the problems of life, and we have an inner peace that is a result of Jesus Christ and also of the Holy Spirit living in our life. And of course, His grace and His peace. The author of it is God, the Father Himself, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so next time we'll pick up with Paul's prayer of thanksgiving that happens to coincide with Paul started this morning in Colossians. And a lot of Paul's epistles are very similar, and we'll take a look at that, Lord willing, next Lord's Day. Amen.